All right, let's pray and we'll jump right in this. Thank y'all for your patience. I've been dealing with a whole lot today. Let's pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for just another opportunity to get into your word on today. We seek wisdom and understanding, and we thank you in advance for it. And we just praise you for all that you do in our lives on a daily basis. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. Just kind of give y'all some news on what's happening with us at this point. My good friend of mine's, I call him a good friend because he's really looked out for me. When I say me, yeah, obviously y'all benefit too. So he really has looked out for me over the years, and you know, and I thank Yah for him, and I just appreciate him a lot, and there'll be some things that I know we'll be able to work together on as far as the future is concerned, and you know, when things happening, you know, he'll definitely be in the loop, so to speak, because you know he's just been there to show his support in all facets. There were some things that happened as far as our project a few years ago, and he played an important role in allowing us to not have to pay taxes at the amount that we were going to be charged a few years ago, and so he's just been a blessing. But he texted me out of the blue. I think it was yesterday, day before yesterday, I can't remember. It's like all my days running together. And so, the virus make you forget what day it is, you know. So, all your days just come together. I was like, day Wednesday, what the day is, you know. But he texted me out of the blue, and he was like, he said, have you checked? He said, have you checked the value of the building? And I was like, no. But, you know, from knowing him, I know what he was implying. And so I said, let me check. Well, I checked, and he had done some things that had got the property value down to about $300,000-some. And now this new tax value has come in, and it's at $700,000 now. You know, and he was like, you know, I told him, I said, well, it's gone up to $700,000. He said, hey man, that's a big jump. Well, it is, you know, double, a little more than double. As far as the jump is concerned, which means that, you know, what we paid in taxes thus far, you know, they're trying to make us pay double, pretty much, coming the tax year when tax are due again. So, but I'll, you know, there are some things I know how to do, and he had told me, he said, protest it. You know, that's what I did the last time to get it down to where it was. I protested it twice, so I got to protest it again. But what I thank y'all for him about, I've been dealing with so much stuff, trying to get myself physically together. I actually feel like I'm about 5 or 6 months behind schedule. It's a lot of things that I'm just now completing that I would have had done months ago. And so I just feel like I'm about 6 months behind schedule in dealing with things as far as you know, my health and things like that is concerned. You know, but Yah's, you know, Yah's faithful, and I'm getting, you know, I'm just getting better and better each day. You know, I decided to, you know, to do my own yard and stuff like that, man. Heck, I was out there for 11 hours. And so I'm getting there. And so the thing about it, I'm so picky. I was out there for 11 hours. Only got half the whole yard done. Still haven't done the back, you know. So, and so, you know, so when he told me to protest it and things like that, so that's what I'll do. So we'll keep that. I'll keep you posted as far as that is concerned on what happens with that. But what I appreciate him about is like I said, I've been doing so much and dealing with so much, is I didn't think about the protest. So that was just Yah dealing with him to contact me to say, hey, you know. He said, you got until the 15th of June or something like that.
They had
Yeah, and see, the thing about it is I don't watch television, so I wouldn't have called it, you know, because I just don't watch TV. And so I should have known it was something though when I received one for, you know, for our home. And and the funny thing about it, you know, I laugh every time I get one of those appraised value, because I know the house is valued at more than what they show, because they only show, you know, 3 bedrooms instead of 4. And I'm like, I ain't gonna tell you. I'm not gonna say nothing. You don't. You dumb enough to put 3. Then I'm smart enough to let you put it. You know. So. You know. So when I got that, I just kind of laughed. You know. I was like, well, that's about 30, 40 grand off. And you know, I just wanted to share that with you guys. And I sent, you know, Alan and Mama, because we always communicate on a daily basis because of the project. So, you know, I sent them a text and was like, okay, this is what's going on at this point. And I was like, you know, okay, here we go again. And then Yah got to dealing with me about it. And so I want to deal with you the way that he's dealing with me about it. Joshua, chill out. Let me just type in this word here. Okay, my mind is kind of on. Oh, I thought somebody said something. So I'm trying to find a passage where it talk about when Yah took us through the wilderness, took us the route that he did to teach us to walk. I can't remember where it is right now. Y'all just kind of bear with me.
Judges 3:2.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm gonna use this one. I'm gonna go ahead and use it. It's okay, I'll use that one. Okay, so yeah, that's the one. That's a good one. Okay, so as I got that information, I was sitting there and I was like, okay, y'all, you know, here we go again. And it's like, and you know, and so what I started doing was to look back on my life since I've been in ministry, you know, since I've been not just pastoring, but since I've been in ministry, period, in church, you know. And one of the things that I've come to understand is I'm constantly having to deal with systems. And it's always a conflict with systems. My conflict is not with individuals. I've never had a problem with, you know, well, you know, me and such don't get along kind of stuff. You know, my personality is just kind of weird and you know. And if a person don't like me, then they in trouble because my personality is just, you know, I just got a way of doing stuff and, you know, it's just the way I am. So, but what I've come to understand is that I'm constantly either in conflict with systems or just coming out of conflict with systems or getting ready to go into conflict with systems. It's been like that ever since I can't recall a time when I hadn't been in conflict with systems. Now when I say systems, I'm talking about some form of entity or some form of source that has power or either form of power whereby they have abused it in one facet or another and I stood up to it. Or you know. And there were times when I went after that system, or there were times when that system came after me, and I withstood the conflict. It's like it's been that way. I can't recall I can't recall a time when I haven't had to deal with system in one fashion or another. Now, I'm saying that for you to kind of find that area as far as you're concerned. What is it that when you look at over the years, you've always had to deal with in one fast or another, whether you are the cause or like me, you know, there are some things I've gone after. Sometimes I go after the system, and then sometimes it comes after me. Either way, they got it's a balance going. And so, with that in mind, what is it? And I mean, you know, if you want to say something, fine. If you don't, fine. I just want your mind to think about it. What is it that you've dealt with for years, where it seemed like there's always a conflict, and you know, whether it's something you have to go after or it comes after you, but there's always a conflict. There's always something that it seems like, you know, you want to get past it, but it just seems like it just keep rolling around. It just keep rolling around and around, and every time, you know, you like, okay, I got past that conflict. You know, I came out with flying colors and like, okay, here we go again. Well, when you look at, you know, what I just gave you an example of as far as our project is concerned, by the way, you know, our building is valued at much more than that, you know, but I'm still going to fight it because we should be paying taxes on it in the first place. But, you know, there's some things that the system has set up, meaning well in one facet, but when you got people who are wicked, they would take that, they would take it and not use it in wisdom, in order to they would use that loophole, they would use that loophole in order to push their agenda, when in reality that was put in place for a good cause. Now, I explain what I mean. When it comes down to the way that they set things up as far as nonprofits are concerned, what they were attempting to do by saying, okay, if a building is vacant, you know, after 3 years, you know, if you're doing renovations on it, after 3 years, you know, you have to start paying taxes on it if you're not finished with the renovations. The reason why they did that is because of the nonprofits who were getting over on the system. In other words, they had property, wasn't planning on doing nothing with it, just sitting there, wasn't doing nothing with it, wasn't taking care of it and things like that. So it was like, okay, in order to deal with this and to make the nonprofit be fair and do things that they're supposed to do, you know, as far as the property is concerned, we'll put these laws in place. Well, on one end, you know, that's fine because you do have some who abuse it. But then like us who are working and striving, you know, on a daily basis to get it open, it's not a fair law for an organization like us who is working hard and doing everything to maintain it and keep it looking nice. Matter of fact, the guy, the first time, he was the one when looked at it. He didn't know me at the time. And he just told me, he said, I wondered. He said, I knew there was somebody that don't mean y'all any good. He said, because when I went and looked at it, he said, the property was kept up and there was nothing, you know, alarming that should have made somebody complain or anything like that. He said, because property looked nice. It was mold. It was, you know, when I pulled up, I'm like, okay, somebody got to be up to something here to put this organization on the radar for a vacant building, because, I mean, you know, you ride past this place and there's nothing that would draw you know, your attention in a negative way. He said, because the property just looked nice. Y'all keep it up and things like that. He said, so I knew somebody had it in for y'all. Well, that's the other end of it. When you have the system that will use that as a loophole to try to hinder organization like us. And whereas we're now dealing with funds, giving it to them, when we could be putting those funds in our own project. You know, we've already paid taxes 2 years in a row, and that's money, that's valuable money that could have went toward the project. Long way toward the project. And we talking about almost $30,000 that went toward taxes that should have went toward renovating something we weren't supposed to be paying taxes on in the first place. Well, when you look at things like that, that is not a just law, because on one hand it upholds it in a right way, and then on the other hand, people who are wicked can turn around and abuse that law and put you on radar and give you problems that otherwise you wouldn't have had. And so it makes it a law. I even confronted the appraisal district, and they was like, you know, take it to Congress. They was like, take it to Congress. They said, you got a valid point. And so, you know, it may be something that I may end up doing down the road in order to say, hey, y'all need to be able to put this law in place, but then be able to sit down and look at the organization individually to determine the best practice for that particular situation. So, you know, it's just that sometimes people, you know, take the law and they just obey it as long as it's benefiting them. And that's what they're doing at this point. So I said all that to say this, that those are things that I'm constantly dealing with as far as conflict is concerned. Always dealing with some system, either it's Honey Grove or, you know, it's, you know, Fannin County, the city of Honey Grove, Dallas County, the city of Dallas. It's always some form of system. The state, the federal level, the local government here. It's like I'm always having to deal with those conflicts, and it seems like it never lets up. Never lets up. Just got past dealing with, or somewhat past, you know, because I know, you know, how things work. You know, dealing with Fannin County, and then lo and behold, here we come, Dallas County. It's like it's just one thing after another. And so, you know, I'm thinking about this, and, you know, this is something, you know, you often used to tease me about, you know, lions and bears type of situation. Oh. And so what I'm realizing and what you're realizing, I'll read this here in a minute, but I'm just kind of laying the foundation for it. What I'm realizing and what I want you to realize, and I say I'm realizing, but, you know, Elder and I have talked about it quite a bit, so I understand it, but I'm just coming to the realization of it more and more. It's sitting in more and more. It is a preparation for something else. So what I'm saying to you, what is it that you're constantly in conflict with? It's like every time you know, you look around, you're having to deal with a specific situation, and it seems like it's the same thing over and over. You know, I deal with foundations and things like that, and when I go sit down and talk to the foundation, when I get up, it's like, here we go again. So I'll say this. How many of you are dealing with some here we go again a lot?
I have in the past, not currently so. Every job I ever had, it was always a problem. And I attribute it to racial situation. So I figure, well, since I'm having to repeat this lesson, maybe it's something I'm not doing like I should. So always, you know, evaluate the situation. But when things get intolerable, I've always moved on to something else, only to find out when I move to the next thing, it's 5 times worse than the first one. And it continued to do that until I retired. The last place I worked was like 50 times worse than the first place I worked. So I'm not working. I'm not working right now. I'm you know, semi-self-employed. So I don't consider it a personality thing, because maybe it was me. I don't know. I just feel like those same circumstances. It's almost like when people can see something in you and they don't want you to attain whatever that is. They do things to, because it was that pattern everywhere I go. I'm just going to do my job, whatever they hired me to do. But somehow or another, I always got in a situation where somebody felt like I was trying to take something from them. And it's like, I'm just trying to do my job. That's it.
Anybody else? You want? Okay.
I have another one.
Go ahead.
This one is a family thing. There's always been some kind of underlying conflict, and that's the ongoing thing. So I didn't recognize it early on, but as I got older and people in the family got older, things started to not be good.
Okay.
I'll ask you, what do you think would have happened if you would have stayed at the job, one of the jobs? You said it would get worse and worse and worse. What do you think if you would have stayed and tackled that monster?
I would have been making less than anybody else.
Oh, okay.
That was the whole thing. They hired me, and I'd been there like 5 years, and then they hired somebody straight out of college. I was working at Stephen F. Austin University at the time, and they hired that person making more, with the same degree I got, making more than I was making.
Oh, okay.
So when I went to my boss, he said, he told his boss, he knew this was gonna happen. Well, it was happening. So, I didn't have no recourse except to move on.
Anybody else? Because I'm gonna tell you what it is.
You tell me what it is?
I'm going to tell you what's going on with us. You had anything? This one? Okay. Judges chapter 3, verse 1. When you look at things as far as our nation was concerned, and verse 1 and 2, and we may read verse 3, maybe 4 even. Yeah, maybe 4 or 5, okay. It says, now these are the nations which Yah left. Now, when you look at this verse here, we know that Yah brought our nation out of Egypt with a mighty hand, his power. In time, Yah talk about his hand, it's his power. He's speaking metaphorically of his power. So Yah brought our nation out of Egypt, and we basically didn't have to lift a finger. We didn't have to fight. We didn't have to do anything. It's Yah brought our nation out with his power with his mighty hand. But what's interesting about this verse 1, is it says, now these are the nation which Yah left. Then it says to prove Israel by them, to test Israel by them. There are things that we're experiencing, you know, and like I said, you know, Elder always encouraged me with it every time I'm dealing with something. He say, oh, you just, even when I'm dealing with systems as far as, you know, those organizations and things like that, those are systems in one fashion or another. You know, he's always encouraging me from a perspective saying, you know, you just tuning up. You know, he may send me a text showing boxing or something like that, knocking stuff out. He'd be sending me all kinds of stuff. I'd be laughing. But he always insinuate that all this stuff that you're dealing with is just preparing you for what you got to deal with. So what it lets me know is this. Lon, if you're always dealing with systems, then Yah is tuning you up for something bigger dealing with systems. Okay? And so we have to understand that everything, that Yah is in complete control, and everything that we're going through, we have to understand that we're in Yah's hand. We are his children. He's in complete control. But Yah is sending me to tell you today that there are some stuff he's leaving in your way as a proving ground, as a testing ground. And that testing ground, and so what you have to understand is this. It's not a matter of pass or fail kind of deal. So when I say here we go again, I'm not saying here we go again because I fail. I'm saying here we go again because I beat you once and you come back again.
It's more practice.
There you go.
Practice is not about win or lose. Practice is just preparation for the game.
Yeah. That's what's going on. And so there are things that you're constantly dealing with on a daily basis, and Yah is like, okay, I left it there. I'm using that word. I left it there. I put it there. I allowed it to be there because I'm proving you for something greater than what you're dealing with right now. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, okay, I've dealt with a whole lot of levels now. I've dealt with federal level, state level, you know, local government level, you know, city level, big and small, foundations. I'm always dealing with these form of systems and things like that. You know, I get invited to this group and I'm looking at the stuff they're writing, and Yah uses me to deal with that system. And a lot of times I'd be like, okay, y'all, I just don't want to deal with this, man. Here we go again. I just don't want to deal with this. Yeah, I was like, yeah, but I left it there. So that's what he was telling me as I was thinking about that on yesterday. He was like, bro, I'm getting you ready for something. So what you have to do is understand that anything, you dwell in the secret place, Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yah, he is my refuge, my fortress, my Yah, in him will I trust. So Yah is like, okay, you're trusting me. You're in my secret place. Can't nobody mess with you. So if they are, guess who left them there? Because no weapon formed against you can prosper. And so if a weapon is put in your way, then you have to understand that I'm allowing this to take place as a testing ground. You know, as Elder pointed out, this is practice for something greater. I'm teaching you how to fight.
I mean, even from the context of, you know, what we talked about before, you know, using that slingshot against Goliath wasn't David's first time using the slingshot.
No.
He had gotten comfortable with the slingshot because he had been using it for other things.
And he know he didn't need to, you know, somebody that's not proven, they would have been standing at the creek. Come down at the creek, because I need plenty of rocks to pick up in case I miss.
And then at the same time, when Saul tried to give him a sword and and an armor and all that, he was like,
I haven't proved it. Yeah. That's what he said. I haven't proved this here. He was uncomfortable with it. The scriptures say he hesitated to go. He said, because it hadn't been proven. Yah's just getting you ready to go. But if he get us ready, he's getting us ready to go. But if we just go, it hadn't been proven. That story about Goliath would have been maybe a little different. If he had not been tested and said, "Hey, I killed a lion and a bear. I've been tested. I've already dealt with things that's supposed to take me out. I killed a lion and I killed a bear." His joke don't mean nothing to me. This uncircumcised Philistine, who, nobody's scared of him. I've been tested, I've been proven, and I've succeeded. My trust is in Yah, and I know I'm finna succeed again. This just another practice. Because once he overcame that, then guess where he continued to practice? Saul. Saul was trying to kill him every time you look around. Constantly being tested. Even when he became the king, his own son went against him. And so it was like he was always being tested in one fast or another. But he always stood the test. And so when you look at verse 1, it says, "These are the nations which Yah left to prove." When you look at the word prove, it means to test, to try. It says to prove, it says to test, to attempt, adventure, essay, prove, attempt, try. Okay? Why did Yah want to try him now? He said to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. He said, "I'm leaving them here to teach these jokers how to fight." Verse 2 says, only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war. At the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. Y'all don't want to use people that don't know nothing, hadn't experienced nothing, hadn't been tested in anything. And so he left those nations, and he named the nation. That's why it says, "Name the five lords," verse 3, of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwell in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering of Haman. Verse 4, "And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of Yah, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses." There's some things that each one of us know that, you know, that Yah's put in our heart for whatever reason or another. We have a certain passion for whether there's people or things, and so when you look at that, it's like Yah's like, "Okay, I put these things in your heart. Now I have to test you. I have to test you to see if you're gonna obey." Lord, I keep putting these systems in your way because I got some bigger systems for you to have to deal with. And when that time comes, you'll be proven enough to have the confidence to know that you dealt with the little system. I brought you through that, you overcame. And since you overcame with the little system, now I'm bringing you into bigger systems. We have to deal with on a you know, on a daily basis. Now, I feel led to say this: if there's nothing that you feel like you've had to deal with on a regular basis, then get ready. Y'all finna teach you how to war. Y'all's gonna bring some situations around to test and to prove. And as the other pointed out, it's nothing but training. It's not about, you know, whether you win or lose or you pass or fail. Y'all is like, no, I'm just taking you through this here. You're going to pass, but that's not your motivation. I'm taking you through this here because I'm just teaching you how. I'm teaching you how to stand up, you know. I'm teaching you when to speak up. I'm teaching you when to hold your peace. I'm teaching you all these things. And so I have to continue to test and get you ready for really what I have planned for you to have to deal with. You know, I was even thinking about you, Elder. Every time, you know, I look around, you're having to deal with how certain system functions.
I was thinking this difficult situation.
Yeah.
It manifests itself different ways. And it's situations that's difficult and out of my control.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to figure out what to do.
Yeah. I that's one thing I've noticed, you know, ever since, you know, we've been together is that constantly happen to you. It's like you always put in situations where there is no answer out there and you have to allow y'all to give you wisdom to figure it out. I see you do that just over and over and over and over again. He's always having to figure out something that doesn't have an answer to it. And so that's training ground for something. Training ground for something. Go ahead.
Not to throw my mama under the bus.
Throw under there. I'll take off with it.
I can take it.
Throw under there. I'm going to turn the corner.
That's a gift that y'all has given me, and it's worked well enough that she just make the assumption that I know. Like, so when she asks me, I don't have a clue. I don't know no more than the man in the movie. But when she first asks me, I'm like, I do not know. Because the truth is, I don't know.
Right.
But then it'll come to me, and then I'll be like, okay, well, do this, this, and this. I didn't know beforehand. Okay, she just said, I'll give you an example. She just said, okay, I want this bookcase, and it needs to be 9 inches and stuff like that. And so she was going through this whole process. I ain't know nothing about that. But it came to me for a CD rack. That I didn't know that, but that's what came to me. It was what she was looking for. So it's like those kinds of things. And so she can tell you over the course of time how many times you'd be like, Sonny, I need it. I'd be like, I do not know. And then the answer just come.
Right. I've seen you do it a lot. There are some other areas.
She left for a different reason. So I get the I tell for everybody today. So I get this CD rack. I done spent about 3 hours putting it together. I'm on the last step. And it's poorly designed. It make you turn it the other way around. Turn it around. It broke on the last day. So I'm all frustrated. But I guess she ain't never seen me frustrated. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about something else. I don't want to talk about this.
Uh, I mean, and so when you look at that, these are proven ground. Like I said, I know what mine is. Elder know what his is.
But I'm going to say this, though. I think even in the midst of that circumstance about the thing, it was like y'all was showing me, okay, sometimes in the game you may take a loss, but you can't get caught up in the loss.
Right.
You know, you got to come back around and be ready for the next game. You can't let one setback devastate you to the point to where you're not ready for the next game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, another example as far as my end is concerned. When a foundation that should do the right thing turn us down, I'd be like, okay, I'm not giving up. They're just preparing me to go another route at doing something else. So even in those rejections, I learned something that strengthens me to allow me to come at things in a different perspective when I deal with something else. Or someone else, or some other organization, or something like that. And so, either way, it's like what Elder pointed out. It's a training session, whereby okay, if you look at it from a basketball perspective, okay, I missed the layup. I keep missing this layup. Okay, what kind of adjustment I'm going to make in order to make the layup? Because this is practice, and I'm being tested. And I'm being proven, and I have to keep getting better, and keep coming up with methods by which I'm willing to stand and trust Yah and things like that.
And I think we got to have a comment. I think, and I've learned this over the course of time, I think people have a tendency to, if I fail at something, never attempt it anymore. And mm-hmm. I think that's the bad approach, right? Well, I just can't do layups. Mm-hmm. Well, you just need to practice at it. And so I think some people have an expectation that when they come into something, that it just don't work. Mm-hmm. And if it don't happen at first, they just give up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be meant to be the best that it was to be at that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it just didn't start out easy. But, mm-hmm. you know, everything is not easy. You have to go through setbacks, you know, in anything in order to get great at it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll give you another example. Y'all know one of our departments, as far as our Project United is concerned, we have an interest in housing. Okay, we have an interest in housing, and you know, there are things that's, you know, that's in place. I believe that's one of the reasons why Mama Coates have her license and things like that for that. And so it's just some, it's one of our departments and something that we plan on doing in the future. You know, whether it's buying apartments or whatever. You know, our vision just expands beyond just, you know, just coming to church, sitting down kind of deal. We're looking at creating jobs and a lot of things we're just looking at, you know, doing. Well, y'all test us on that. And so, you know, as I discussed with you guys on last week in reference to, you know, certain things that we do, you know, we run into, you know, families on and off over the years. We're dealing with some situations now where we're allowing, you know, people to stay on our property and things like that. Well, that's a testing ground. Because we sit up in a department that says we want to provide housing and get into housing and come up with a system whereby, you know, people can have their own homes and things like that. It's just you know, something that, you know, we have a passion for, and it's like y'all said, well, okay, well, let me prove you on that. If you're not willing to help people in need, and I'm not just talking about what we're doing as far as Honeygrove is concerned. Y'all know, I told you, there a time when we paid people's rent and things like that. It's a lot of things that, you know, y'all has led me to do that either I've done it personally or have used resources as far as the ministry to do it. But it's like it's a testing ground to where y'all is saying, okay, you're saying you want to do this, but let me put you to the test. One of the things I used to always say to people when they would come to me and say, they'd be like, okay, I heard you write grants. I'd be like, well, yeah. Well, can you write me a grant? I want to help battered women. I'd be like, okay, you want to help battered women. Then do you have any idea how many battered women are in the city of Dallas? Well, no. Do you have, and so I start asking them questions from a perspective that takes them beyond something they just want to do. Because anything you have passion for, you're going to learn about it and you're going to do whatever, you know, it takes to implement that. And so I ask questions along those lines. When they get through, they be like, man, I ain't nowhere ready. No, you're not. Because if this is something you're going to do, you know, you got to be tested in those areas. And so, you know, you need to know what's going on. You need to know your clientele. You need to be able to understand all these things that you're facing. Well, y'all is like, okay, y'all want houses for people. Let me see what you do, what you already got. Let me test you in those areas. Because if you're going to have a department in that area, then you show ought to be able to aid some folks as you're able. Or do you just want to wait until you get to the mountaintop kind of deal? You want to take on something without being tested? You know? I used to, I'm going to say this then, you know, I'm going to shut my mouth, sit down. I'm already sitting down, but I'm shut my mouth. I remember, I'm going to use my sister. I'm not going to call out which one. I'm not going to call out which one bet it, but I'm not going to call out. Y'all didn't hear that. I was thinking out loud. I remember when Betty used to say, and I got other siblings here, y'all can attest to it. My sister Betty, she used to be like, she said, if I hit the lottery and got like a whole bunch of million, she said, I give all my family members, like $1 million and stuff like that. And you know, she was telling, I was sitting there listening to her, and she said, Lord, she said, if you hit like the lottery for like $100 million or something, she said, would you give all your family members $1 million? And no. She said, I can't believe you wouldn't give everybody $1 million if you won like $100 million. I said, why would I give everybody $1 million? I said, I only enhance what they are. So if I give Pookie them, you know, they're a nut. If I give them $1 million, it's going to be a bigger nut. Cost me more money because they're going to get in a bunch of trouble. And I mean, she was upset with me. She said, I can't believe it. I'm like, okay, Bennett, I don't have $100 million, so you ain't got that. I'm just saying, if I had it, I'd do whatever y'all tell me to do with it. I would just go around passing out $1 million to crazy family members. You know, some be responsible for it, but, you know, I can't just pass it out just because it's there. I said, they hadn't been proven with it. And so I was like, okay, man, you know, if you would do that with $100 million, then what about now? What are you willing to do now? Because what you do now is what you do later. Most people wait. Most people always talk about waiting until they get something before they do something. And my perspective is, if you ain't doing it now, it don't matter how much you get. You can have $100 million. If you're not willing to do it now, you're not going to do it with $100 million.
That's the scripture in our daily confession. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much.
That's the law. I'm like, shoot, man. Man, you know, using my sister, I love her dearly, though. You know, I call her mess with her a lot of times. I just call her evil crazy messes sometimes. Man, just call her 2 or 3 times. It's bad ass. Why you ain't answer the phone? You know, so he messing with her. So, you know, although I love her dearly, there are laws that fall into place that I understand. I'd be like, okay, there are things you're not doing now. $100 million not gonna change your perspective. It's not gonna change your mind. The area that Yah is testing now, he's testing those ground, as Elder pointed out, he that's faithful in that which is least. It's a testing ground for that greater thing. Yah may want to give you $100 million.
If you ain't faithful with 10, you ain't gonna be faithful with 100 million.
No, sir, I test you with the little thing. And the area I'm testing you on is the very area that I want to bless you in. I'm preparing you. So thus with us, as far as, you know, providing places for people to be able to have shelter and things like that, you know, paying people's rent and here and there to keep them shelter over their head over the years and just all these things we've done, because y'all is like, well, shoot, I can trust you. You want a department? I can trust you with a department, because you've been tested with the little. And when you had little, there were times when I would take and just split my pennies with somebody. But look here, I'm all right right now. So here, take this right here, because I'm fine right now. And then, you know, later on, you know, holler at me if I need you, you know, kind of deal. All that is testing ground. And y'all keep bringing that same test around on each one of us for one reason or another. Mine is the system. Elders always solve an issue. What's yours? There's something y'all keep bringing around to you. It keep putting it in your face. Every time you look around, it's being put in your face, because y'all said, I'm testing you in that area, because that's the area where I want to use you. I know where mine is. Elder know where his is. Mama cousin know what hers is. She keeps saying, I just run from it sometimes. I'm just missing.
But what that caused, every instance I had to stand up for myself.
Right.
Which that's not always an easy thing to do, especially in, you know, people in powerful positions. But my take on it, and see, y'all has been with me through all of this, mm-hmm. because if it was just me on my own, I would have got blasted a whole mm-hmm. lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was at EDS, which was the last place I worked, and my boss asked me to do something that I didn't feel like was right, and I just told him I'm not going to do it. I said, it's not right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And so I said, because if I do that, that's going to cause this, this, and this to happen. And that's not going to happen on my watch. I'm responsible for these people, and I'm not going to do something that will cause them harm. I said, so you can do it if you want to do it. And I said that to him, and it's like...
I mean that could be your testing ground. Well, y'all are saying, are you willing to stand? Are you willing to stand... It's almost said from a perspective of what I go through in order for you to see yours. Sometime I have to take the bulk or the brunt of something in order for somebody else to walk through smoothly. And so you may be tested in those areas because Yah is getting you prepared to stand for the helpless.
Big scheme.
Yeah. Right. And you got to have
somebody.
You know, cause my thing is they come. I tell a president in a minute, I could care less what the president thinks about me. I need water on duck back to me because I've been tested so much in those areas where I've had to stand. It's like, okay, in order for me to do this, I can't have a reputation. I can't be somebody who is easily hurt. I have to be willing to stand and be firm and go through it and know that I'm finna go through the ringer and make that choice all because I want that person to benefit that's coming after me.
There was one other situation where they wanted me to act a certain way, and I'm saying, I'm me, that's the only way I know how to act, because if I start acting like you, then I'd be you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess I wasn't coming around to that, and they said they were going to have to let me go. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's fine, because I was looking for a job, and I found this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, if there are other jobs out to me, it's like, when it comes to a certain thing, it's like I'm just fearless when it comes to it. Whatever happened, I know y'all's going to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up coming back, asking me about they had thought about it, and would I stay on.
Mm-hmm.
For less pay, I know I'm maybe getting out in the weeds now, but I was a project manager over like 30 some people, somewhere in India, somewhere in Egypt, and some in the United States. And they get those people abroad because they can pay them cheaper.
Yeah.
People abroad were making as much or more than I was making.
Mm.
And I'm over all of them. And I see all of this happening. It's like, why this happening to me? It's like everybody else is just going up the carpet ladder, and I was stuck on rung 3.
Hmm.
So I'm sure it's for some reason,
mm-hmm.
but he brought me through it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing my brother Kyle taught me. He said, don't let nobody push you in a corner. So that knowing Jesus at the same time, because you could come out fighting. I ain't that kind of fighter, but I'm gonna stand up for myself. That's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna stand up for the people I'm responsible for.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I wanted to share with you in a nutshell to get you to take a look at some things, and like I said, if you're not experiencing some consistent things, just over and over, then, Yah is going to test all of us. It's just that, to whom much is given, much is required. Some of us, he may be tested now. Some of us may be getting ready to be tested. But, I think if we all be honest, there are some areas where we can sit down and say, man, I keep dealing with this same thing over and over. It's training ground. It's proving time. Same thing over and over. Every time I look around, just same thing. It's a test.
I'm glad to hear that because I thought I was failing and having to repeat the course.
Right. That's the traditional thing most of us preachers say. I used to say the same thing. but I'm realizing more and more. It's like what Elder pointed out. It's not about pass or fail. It's about training and getting the experience to deal with what has to be dealt with down the road. It's not that we're constantly failing. It's Yah is saying, I'm just bringing it about. I'm bringing it about, and I'm adjusting your heart, your mind. Each time I bring it about, you're getting better and better at dealing with it. And I'm just going to keep you practicing and keep practicing. And then when that day comes, when I really need that, you'll be ready. And I have no doubt I got to deal with systems in the future. This is all I've ever dealt with. Okay. All righty. Anybody, question, comments? Do you have anything else? Okay, we'll stop here. Father Yah, we just bless you. We thank you for revealing to us that we don't pass or fail. Just that there are certain things that you have left for us to be trained and to get stronger in these practices, because we have greater things to deal with along those lines. And we just bless you for that. Thank you for your wisdom and you loving us enough to teach us war. And we just bless you for that. And we know that you're leading and guide us in all truth. And we know that the bottom line is we're going to always stand on your word. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.